is coming, so we're going to finish our time in Paul's letters to the church at Ephesus today. So turn, if you would, to the last chapter, chapter 6 in Ephesians. We'll start at verse 10 here in just a bit. But Paul's getting to his main point finally. And he brings us to the battle that we are in. In the late 6th century BC, about the time the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, a Chinese general and strategist, Sun Tzu, in his writing, The Art of War, said that every battle is won or lost before it is fought. Our battle is won. But we are still fighting a battle. Now, in the world of extreme sports, they have paintball tournaments. You have paintball guns that shoot about 13 of these paintballs a second. It's very quick, it's exciting, and it's chaotic. And the ideal setup is that you have a wide open field and then hills coming down from it, and you have five people on each team, and they are strategizing to take the hill, get up onto the hill, and take the other team's flag. It's not easy. So in the midst of thousands of flying paintballs, it's tough to spot your opponents. So you're crouching, you're diving behind bunkers and barriers, and your team's coach is shouting information. He's shouting where your enemy is. But the surprising part is that the other team's fans are yelling false information to you. They are counter-coaching you, as they say in that sport. They're distracting your teammates with false information. They're pretending to help you. And you have to focus on your coach and block out all other distractions. This is directly applicable to us living out our lives as followers of Jesus. The Bible warns us that it's not easy to listen for God's voice in the middle of all the chaos. We have to know His voice. Jesus says, "My sheep know My voice." But picking out His voice, if He's not speaking loudly and we're letting all kinds of noise into our life and distraction, we are subject to being countered, to being blocked, to being checked. And so we have a culture around us that is giving us false point outs, wrong information, the devil, who is the slanderer, is sending plenty of things our way. And he's looking for people he's looking to give us distracted hearts. There's only one way to combat spiritual counter-coaching, and that's to know the voice of Jesus. Know the voice of Jesus. Hang on to every word. Trust and obey. Even when the crowd tells us to do something else. Well, Paul gets into this combat motif in his letter. In fact, it's probably the main point of the whole letter. He's told us some amazing things that God has done for us. He's predestined us since before the foundations of the earth. And He has lavished every good thing on us in order, and since He's done that, He wants us to behave like the children that He has made us. And finally, He tells us what we're putting on in order to carry out this mission. And so we've been following a motif of from God, your new wardrobe. Well, this is a specialized part of your wardrobe. It's special gear for special work. Special forces, you might say. In fact, this would be the place, he doesn't say it here, but he says it in other letters, that he writes the last bit of the letter in his own hand. Now, apparently he had some trouble with his eyes and couldn't see very well. And so he mentions this in other places. 1 Corinthians, the end of the letter, chapter 16. This greeting is in my own hand. Paul's. 2 Thessalonians 3:17. The greeting is in my own hand. Paul's. It is a sign in every letter. In this way I write. Galatians 6 at the end of the letter. Notice the large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Exclamation point. Colossians. This greeting is in my own hand. Paul's. Remember my chains. He was in prison, just as he was when he wrote Ephesians. And to Philemon, writing to him about this slave that had run away and come to him. And Paul says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay. I will repay you whatever you've lost on account of this slave. But also let me remind you that you owe me your very self since I led you to the Lord. But don't think about that. A little Jewish guilt never hurts. So Paul takes this opportunity to bring Isaiah's imagery of the Lord, Yahweh, and his Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 11, he says, then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. He's talking about the Messiah coming. So down further in verse 5, he says, also righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. See, they were picking up soldiering imagery, and they do just like our soldiers do today. They cover themselves. They have Kevlar and all kinds of stuff they wear underneath their uniforms to protect them from flying debris in, up to and including bullets. And so they would do the same thing. Protect themselves. Later in Isaiah chapter 59, God himself, Yahweh, says in chapter 59 verse 17, he put on righteousness like a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. God is fighting for his people. That's the point. God doesn't need physical armor. But he's letting himself be seen in a picture that we can understand. And then he says of his Messiah in chapter 49, this is the Messiah speaking, the servant of the Lord, says, the Lord, that is Yahweh, called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. God made this so that we didn't see it coming. He has made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. It's the blade that comes out of nowhere. That's the Messiah. This baby born in Bethlehem. And so now in Ephesians, God now provides the armor that he and his servant wear on the day of battle for us. This Jesus who rode into the city in peace on a donkey's colt will be celebrating Palm Sunday next week. This one who came in peace will take up his horse on the day of the last battle. John's terrifying vision in the Revelation describes him this way in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. John says, I saw heaven standing open, And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven, the Tzva'ot HaShemayim, the armies of heaven, were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, says the scripture. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. He came in peace, and the sons of men, both Jew and Gentile, put him to death. But God made that death the only pathway to life. Only God does that. Only he is able. He raised his servant from the dead, and he was made to sit at his right hand as Lord over all heaven and earth. Those who follow him, those who will be a living sacrifice, those who will wear the name above all names, those who will do that are invited to strap on the full armor, the gear of God himself. And we're going to need it. Soldiers are not individuals. They used to call soldiers GIs, government issue. It was a little bit of a derogatory term. It just meant you're another one, just like the next one. But there's a truth in that. Because GIs altogether are an ominous force. And we are part of one another. We are together in Christ. And so this enemy of ours is the same one that's been talked about earlier in this letter. This enemy has already been defeated. You see, Christ has been seated at the right hand of God and in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the age to come. Whether it's a place, whether it's a time, whatever it is, Christ is over all. He has won the victory. Amen. Yes. But in which you, Paul says later in chapter 2 of Ephesians that we've studied already, in which you formerly walked like a son of disobedience. You formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is working now in the sons of disobedience. That used to be us. Paul makes the connection in the book of Romans. He connects putting on the armor of God with putting on Christ. You see, it's the same thing. In Romans chapter 13, Paul says in verse 12 and on, "The night is almost gone and the day is near, so let us put off the works of darkness," like he said in Ephesians, "and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and envy. Instead, put on the Lord Messiah Jesus and stop making provision for the flesh for its cravings." You see? So here he says putting on Christ is also putting on the armor of light. It's the same thing. And so today I would just like to offer, as we close out in this book, Three critical strategies in the battle for which we are equipping. First is to be strong in the Lord. Let's look at the text. We're at chapter 6, starting at verse 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord. These are exactly the words that the Lord tells Joshua. He tells Joshua, I know that Moses left you big shoes to fill, but you have to be strong. Use all you've got. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's where your strength comes from. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, the place that our eyes do not yet see. Therefore, put on the full armor. The Greek word here actually goes straight over into English. It's panoply. Put on the panoply of God. Everything you've got. Everything He's offering you. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. He kind of shifts here a little bit into a wrestling contest mode. Most soldiers are told to advance. He tells us to stand. Because in wrestling, the last one standing is the one who wins, you see. Be strong in the world, in the Lord. We do not empower ourselves. Joshua had the same things. We have an external source. It's the Lord Jesus who empowers us. And we are armored like a heavily armed foot soldier. Everything that we need, God is giving to us. Losing the battle is falling back into the things that we talked about in chapter 4. Uncontrolled anger, falsehood, stealing, unwholesome talk, conduct from our old life. That is losing the battle. That's why we need one another. To hold one another accountable. Hang in there. Hold fast. Stand in the gaps. We are not trying to gain a victory. We have victory in Christ. We are holding on to the victory. We are holding on so that the Lord can reach more and more people with His love in this world. So that they will know and come to be His children. Don't go back to acting like one of the sons of disobedience, but rather be a child of light, as Paul contrasted earlier in the book. They lived in a place, the Ephesians, where the dominant religions were trying to hold back evil with magic. This is not the same. This is nothing like that. This is completely different. We are holding back evil with the power of Christ and His death and resurrection. Straightforward. The sons of disobedience, their ultimate goal is death. We desire life. The Lord desires more people to come into life. Life with capital letters. That is why we're here. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's why we eat the Passover. That's why we remember His death on Good Friday. That's why we get up at sunrise to remember His resurrection in that empty tomb. That is why. Be strong in the Lord. Second, stand firm. Let's continue on in the text. Verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one who are under attack. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All these things we have, the actual armor, it's not to advance the battle, it's to hold fast until the Lord comes. It's to be His people in a darkening world. Paul was bringing all this from the prophets, from Isaiah especially, from a biblical worldview. But what he knew about the Ephesians he was writing to is that they had other pictures of soldiers in their minds. They didn't especially honor the Romans. They kind of put up with them. But they were wildly popular at this time, was the Iliad. And so they would have street plays, and they would be chanting all the lines from that talked about Odysseus and Achilles. Odysseus was a deceiver. The Trojan horse. Achilles was called godlike in battle strength with his divinely crafted armor. So they had a picture of this, and it wasn't just a Roman soldier. And Paul's picture was from ancient Israel. They understood it in a very positive way. The belt of truth. Telling the truth protects our weakest places. That's why they put a belt around them, a big one, to protect your guts. When you tell the truth, when you live in the truth, you're not subject to getting tangled up in lies. The breastplate of righteousness, doing the right thing, because that's what God does. That's what we're called to do. That's what we encourage one another to do. Our feet fitted. You need to have good footing. Again, Isaiah, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. We want to be able to move with this good news. The shield of faith, where we appropriate God's promises. Yes, I believe you, Lord. I will stand in the gap. Confident that He will protect us. The helmet of salvation. Confident in His work for us. Confident that He is doing His work. However bad today was, or yesterday was, or this week was, the truth of it is, you and I are kitted out with God's gear. We are His children, and we are that army that is dressed in white. And He has called us to be His army, if you will. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Not just to quote it. Satan knows how to quote it. But to understand it and live in it. It is the power of truth. We wear truth and truthfulness around us. And we deal in truth. We live in a world that is always trying to blur distinctions of this and that. And sometimes we're too quick to draw lines in the sand about this or that. We need to be good thinkers, good articulators of God's truth. But we also need to be people who are able to say, I don't understand this bit over here, but what I do know for sure is right here, and I have it in my hand, and I have to live out this part. That's what he has called us to. That's why we teach our little ones at Awana and Breakaway and youth group, high school youth group. We start early. And those are just outreaches that are hopefully coming out of the homes. Hopefully the core understanding of the Bible and the truth is coming inside your house. Parents to little ones. That's where it starts. Stand firm. Finally, this, keep praying. Keep praying, Paul says. Let's look at verses 18 through 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. God knows how complicated your life is. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Pray also for me. He's in prison. That whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Prayer is critical. We need to access what it is God is giving us. We need to be sure of our salvation. We need to use the shield of faith and the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. Because there are powerful entities at play here. Verse 18 uses the word all over and over again. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. For all of the Lord's people, we're in this together. We are not alone. No Lone Ranger stuff with the Lord. We are called to be together. We're a team. We're a squad. We're a brigade. With all perseverance, we keep going. We keep praying. James says that you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then Hebrews says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. That's what we're doing. That's the battle we're in. We're in this together. So finally, let's look at the last bit of Ephesians. This is what it looks like. This is what it means to put on the armor. This is the discussion about Paul's real life. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. He knows, you see, these are his spiritual children. He led them to the Lord. So he knows they're worried about him as he is about them. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that we may encourage you. You see, this is the stuff of the battle. What's the biggest weapon in the evil one's hands? He discourages us. And so Paul is taking action to encourage them. I'm fine. Don't sit up nights worrying about for me, but pray for me. Pray that I'll get out of jail and that my life will be easy? Nope. Pray that I have the right words to say when the time comes. Finally, this. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for its power, its ability to suit us up in your armor, for its ability to keep us going and to Help us to bless one another, to encourage one another, to love one another in all these different ways. Encourage us, Lord. Help us to encourage one another. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.